welcome to Old Testament Prophets with your host, Father Mitch Pacwa. In a moment, Father Pacwa.
Peace be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, a Jesuit priest and a professor of Old Testament at Loyola University of Chicago. And we're doing a series here on the prophets. And we've been talking about Moses. That was our last section. But we're not finished with this Moses. As I said in the last show, Moses is the norm of prophecy. He is the key prophet, and all other prophets have to meet the norm of Moses. Now, one of the things I want to look at today is, why is Moses so important? Why is Moses so key? So let's take a look at some things, because today we want to see how Moses especially spoke for God at Mount Sinai. And I even have a picture here of a mountain like Sinai. If you take a look at your screen, you'll see this very barren type of place. And you can imagine Moses being up on the top of a mountain like this. And he's looking out there, and that's where he meets God. Now, from that kind of a perspective, we open up into Exodus chapter 19. Now, chapter 19 starts off by saying, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt. Okay. Now, as a matter of fact, we Christians celebrate the same festival in a way, because we celebrate the feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Easter. That is our Passover. Okay. And the Jews celebrated 50 days after their Passover when they left Egypt. And that 50 days afterwards was the time in which they celebrated the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the law on the two tablets of stone. And that's what we deal with here. And they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they camped there. And Moses went up to God, and Yahweh called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." So Moses goes back to the mountain where he had seen the burning bush, Mount Sinai. And from Mount Sinai, he goes up to speak to Yahweh, and Yahweh says, "Speak to the people of Israel these words." And the words of Yahweh are this: "You have seen what I have done to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Now imagine, Yahweh says, "I'm like a great eagle, and I spread out my wings. And like a great eagle, you ride on my wings, and I take you off from slavery into freedom. And not simply into freedom, but I bring you to myself. And now, I ask you to come and listen to me. If you listen to my voice, and if you keep my covenant, then you shall be my own special possession, my treasure, from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. So even though, look, I own everything, but you are special to me. You are precious to me. If you keep my covenant and listen to me, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Now Moses, as a good prophet, goes down the mountain from Yahweh and speaks these words to the people. Imagine telling them, "You will be a kingdom of priests." That is, you're special to me, you're a treasure, a special possession, because as a nation, the whole people of Israel, you will be priests. And as priests, you will be offering sacrifice for the whole world. All of your sacrifices are going to be for everybody in the world, because as a whole nation, you are priests. And you are holy. That is, you're to be like me. I am holy, therefore you be holy. That's Moses' prophetic message, and that becomes the message for all the prophets. And so, as we see then here, that Moses, you know, called the elders of the people, set these words before him, and the people answered, "All that Yahweh has said and spoken, we will do." All that Yahweh has said, we will do. We're not just going to believe it in our heads, we're going to do it. We're going to act on these words. So Moses runs back up to the top of the mountain, and he tells Yahweh. So Yahweh says, "Look, I'm going to come in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to them, and they may believe thee forever." The rabbis even say, God didn't want to speak too softly, because then the people wouldn't have respect. God didn't want to have, you know, his full voice, or else the people would die if they heard the full voice of God. So he did a little thunder, lightning, a few trumpet blasts, thick clouds, fire, special effects that put Cecil B. DeMille to shame. And he speaks to God and gets the respect. Does way better than even that one, I can't even remember the comedian's name, who can't get no respect. He's on beer commercials. Well, that guy can't get respect, but Yahweh can, because he makes thunder and lightning and smoke and all that good stuff. But he also says to Moses, tell the people, do not touch this mountain, or don't even touch the border of it. Whoever touches this mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned. In other words, Yahweh is so holy. Only Moses can go up to Yahweh and speak to him. Nobody else can even touch the mountain. If an animal runs away and touches the mountain, he has to be stoned to death. You can't even touch him or strangle him with your own hands. And so Moses goes down to the people and tells them that they may not touch the mountain, and they have to clean up. They have to wash their clothes, take a bath. You're talking to God now. He's going to be showing up. I want you to look clean. Wash behind your ears when you talk to God. Okay? Because he's showing up here. And so the people do. And also to refrain from sexual relations between each other. And then after that, God spoke these words. So Moses goes back up to the mountain after the people have been cleaned up for 3 days and got a good bath. And God said all these words, I am Yahweh your God, Anochi Yahweh Eloheicha, who brought you forth from the land of Egypt out of the house of bondage. In other words, I am not just Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I am Yahweh who brought you out of bondage and brought you to myself. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. And at this point, Moses becomes the prophet who speaks the word of the covenant. He speaks the Ten Commandments, telling them the stipulations, that is, the laws, the rules of this new covenant. And this is what makes Moses the key of prophecy, because all other prophets must be like Moses, because they speak the words of God, and they speak of his righteousness and of his commandments. And so must we do if we are to be God's prophets. Now we're going to come back and listen to those words a little more carefully in just a minute. So please, stay tuned with us. Thank you. Welcome back. We're talking about Moses, the norm of prophecy. And we've just been dealing with Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. And from the top of Mount Sinai, he speaks these words to the people of Israel, that Yahweh has brought them out of the house of slaves, Egypt, into freedom. And therefore, Yahweh says, you shall have no other gods before me. He also says, you shall not make any graven image, nor any manner of likeness of anything in heaven or on earth or in the water below earth, nor bow down to them nor serve them, for I am Yahweh your God, and I am a jealous God. So Yahweh will not tolerate any other gods or any idols. He is the only God that Israel is to have. And if you don't love Yahweh, if you hate him, then he will visit punishment for the third and fourth generation. But if you do love him and keep his commandments, he will show love for 1,000 generations. So 3 or 4 generations if you do evil, 1,000 generations if you show him love. Also, he says, you may not take the name of Yahweh in vain. That is, for magical purposes. The word vain, shava, in Hebrew, means originally magic. You can't control Yahweh. So here we have to have only Yahweh. We may not worship idols. We cannot take his name in vain. And also, he says, remember to keep holy the Sabbath. You rest on the Sabbath. You rest in Yahweh. And keep it holy like Yahweh is holy. So those commandments are words that relate to Yahweh. But then he says, also you must honor your mother and your father. You may not murder. You may not commit adultery. You may not steal. You may not bear false witness. And you can't even covet in your heart. All those things are forbidden. And the thing that we have to realize is that all of those things about relationship to one another are part of our relationship to God. God has called us through Moses the prophet to be a people that loves him first and foremost and our neighbors as ourselves. And to part and parcel of the relationship with Yahweh is this relationship with laws. Now, these 10 commandments are absolute. And even though Moses is the only one who went up to the mountain to receive them, the commandments are all written, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, or thou shalt not commit murder, and so on. And that's the reason, or for that reason, we see that the commandments are addressed to individuals. Now, what that means is that each individual person must obey the commandment and take personal responsibility to be obedient in the covenant. That's the way it's written. You, singular, must obey this. But then after the 10 commandments, we also see another set of laws. In the next 3 chapters of Exodus, we see the laws about dealing with living in the land. If your ox gores somebody, then you have to kill the ox. If you have to become a slave, you may only be a slave for so many years. All kinds of social laws and some religious laws that are usually in the form of, if you do this, then this must follow. If your ox gores somebody, then you must kill him. Kill the ox, that is. If you rape somebody, then you must be killed. Or if you rape somebody, then you must marry her. Okay? And so on. Different if laws. If you do this, then this must result. And even those, which are called mishpatim, that is, those are called judgments. If this happens, then the judgment is to be this. Okay? Those are judgments as opposed to commandments, which we see in the 10 commandments. And Moses gives those. He speaks those. He's a spokesman of those commands. And in that sense, he's a prophet. Now, Moses takes all these commandments and puts them in a box. And I'd like to show you a picture of some cherubim. I have a couple shots of cherubim that we can see. Like this first one here is made out of stone. Now, this is a large one. This one weighs 40 tons. And here's some small ones in a box. And the box has those winged animals there that we call cherubim. Now, Moses made a box at God's direction with features just like that. Some sort of a winged character. There was a lion, perhaps, or a bull. Those are the way usually cherubim were shaped. And that would be on top of this box. And inside the box was Moses' staff, some manna that had fallen on the ground, and most importantly, the commandments of God, the 10 commandments. And this box was carried around by Israel as a focus for them, a focus for their relationship with Yahweh, to remind them that they must obey these commandments, and that, as a matter of fact, they even had a sense, Yahweh used that box as his footstool. That was a sign of his presence. Sort of like, in church, we have a tabernacle with the Blessed Sacrament in it as a sign, the sacrament of God's presence among us. Well, for Israel, the box was a tabernacle of sorts. It was a box with the Ten Commandments in it, and how they had to be true to that covenant and true to those commandments. But it didn't always work out so well. And Moses was a prophet in other ways and called the people of Israel to repent. Now, if we open up to Exodus chapter 32, we see that Moses has been on top of Mount Sinai for a long time, 40 days. And after he's been on Mount Sinai for 40 days, he's ready to come down. But the people are waiting for him, and as a matter of fact, they have a problem. Because they say, what happened to Moses? The people, you know, are sick and tired of waiting for him. Even though they had told Moses, the prophet, we'll do everything you say, that was easy to talk about, but not so easy to do. And they become very impatient. And so they say to Aaron, in chapter 32 of Exodus, get up, make us a god, actually in Hebrew says, make us gods, who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. So already, while Moses is still talking to Yahweh on the mountain, they say to Aaron, make us gods. They're ready to break the commandment, the first commandment. They're ready to give up Yahweh, and they're ready to make an idol. And Yahweh told them specifically in the Ten Commandments not to do that. And also, if you notice, they say, as for this Moses, that man who brought us up out of Egypt. Remember what it said in the Ten Commandments? Yahweh said, I brought you up. I brought you up on eagle's wings. And they don't believe that. They've lost their faith in God. And so they're ready to commit apostasy. And Aaron goes along with it. He says, break off all of your rings and your earrings and give them to me. And they do that, they take off their gold, which they had gotten from the Egyptians by Yahweh saying, I'm going to despoil the Egyptians and get their gold from them, and you're going to have the gold. They take that gold, they give it to Aaron, and he makes it into a golden bull. Now, Moses, the prophet. And the problem that we're dealing with at this point is that the people of Israel have just made a golden calf, something they were forbidden to do. And Aaron even says to Israel, Israel, these are your gods that brought you up out of Egypt. And the people of Israel want this golden calf to go in front of them to lead them through the wilderness. In other words, they don't want Yahweh anymore. They don't trust Yahweh to lead them. And so, while Moses is still up on Mount Sinai, Yahweh spoke to him. This is in Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. Yahweh spoke to Moses, go, get down from here. For your people have brought up out of the, who you brought up out of the land of Egypt have dealt corruptly. So Yahweh says to Moses, you brought these people up. These are your kids. Ever see your parents, or maybe you are parents, you've seen them fight? Have you seen what your son did? Have you seen what your daughter just did? Well, Yahweh's arguing the same way. These people whom you brought up. Now, earlier in the Ten Commandments, Yahweh said, I brought them up. He's sort of the proud Yahweh, the proud father. But now he says to Moses, you brought them up. Okay? It's your fault, kind of. Mm-hmm. And so Yahweh says to Moses, the prophet, they have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed it. Now, back off, Moses, out of my way, because I am going to wipe them out. And Moses says to him, Yahweh, why is it your anger is so up? Now, in Hebrew, the word, why are you letting your nostrils flare and heat up? It's like Yahweh has these nostrils that just flare up in heat. Because you brought this people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Look, Yahweh, you did a lot of work for these people. Okay? And why should the Egyptians then speak saying, he brought them out into the desert in order to destroy them? Okay? So, turn from your fierce wrath, your flaring nostrils, and repent of this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself, and you said to them, I'll multiply your seed. until Yahweh repented. Now, this Moses, the prophet, is an intercessor. This is one of the things that it means to be a prophet, to intercede for those people who need to have intercession, who have a problem. So Moses prays for the people of Israel. Now, when he goes down from the mountain after this, and he takes away Yahweh's anger, he sees the people and hears them singing and dancing, and he takes the Ten Commandments in his hand and smashes them against the rock. And he takes and he smashes up the golden calf, grinds it, burns it, and casts it in water. And we see that drawn out in Deuteronomy 9. Now, one of the things we see from Canaanite books, we found some Canaanite literature, and that's the way you get rid of a false god. That there's a goddess who does the same thing to the god of death. What she does is she takes the god of death and, you know, breaks him up, grinds him, burns him, and throws him into the sea. Well, Moses does that to this false god, the golden calf. And he's furious with the people. And he says to Aaron, "Aaron, why did you do such a thing? How could you let this people run away like this?" And Aaron says, "Look, they gave me gold, I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf." One of the weakest excuses that the first priest of Israel ever gave. And then Moses gets the Levites to join him and says, "Everybody for Yahweh, join me." And so the Levites join him, and they punish the people who worship the calf, and they kill them, you know, for worshiping the calf. And then, so Moses has a bad temper just like Yahweh does. Then afterwards, Moses goes up to the mountain, and he speaks to God again, and he speaks to him face to face. And this is another reason why Moses is the key prophet. He speaks to God face to face, directly. And when he speaks to God, he says, "Yahweh, forgive these people and renew the covenant." And so in chapter 34, Yahweh says, "I will renew it." And Yahweh gives all sorts of new laws and says, "Look, make sure that you keep my festivals. Make sure you come to my pilgrimages. Make sure that you come and obey my commandments. Have no other gods. Don't marry foreign women and worship their gods. Just be faithful to me." And Moses then goes on to give even more laws. He speaks those laws to the people as a prophet for the people. Now, we see then Moses as prophet then in the way that he corrected the people and got them from false worship, and he spoke in the name of Yahweh the law. But, you know, Moses had lots more of adventures as a prophet, and we won't have the time to get into all of them. But I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34, when Moses dies, and take a look at some of these pictures that I have here to show you. That here is a picture of the land of Israel. And just before Moses died, he was able to look at this vista. He was able to look from the desert and see the Jordan River, as you see here. And this is very close, as a matter of fact, to where the Israelites crossed. And the thing that we see is that Moses got a chance to look at all that, but he himself was not allowed to cross into the land. And after seeing this, he spoke, as we see in the book of Deuteronomy, the words of Deuteronomy, and repeated the instruction. He was a prophet in the book of Deuteronomy because he spoke to them the words of the law again. As a matter of fact, the word Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. Moses repeats his instruction, but the book of Deuteronomy is instruction that tries to encourage the people to obey, to motivate them. Not just tell them what the law is, but Moses as prophet is to motivate them to obey God's law. And then, as we see in chapter 34, Moses went up from the plains of Moab, which is now in the country of Jordan. And it's a flat land, and it's in the Jordan River Valley. And he goes up to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is over on the other side of the Jordan, that is, in the east part of the Jordan. And he saw all that land, he saw that vista. And then Yahweh said to him, again, speaking to his beloved prophet, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to their seed. I've let you see it with your own eyes, but you shall not go there." And so Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of Yahweh. And he was buried there, and nobody knows where his grave is. And the people mourned him for 30 days. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, For Moses had laid his hands on him, and Joshua was to carry on this ministry as prophet. And it goes on in verse 10, there has not arisen a prophet since Moses in Israel like Moses. Never again has there been a prophet like Moses who knew the Lord face to face and all the signs and wonders which Yahweh sent him to do. Now the key about Moses is he knew God face to face. For us to be prophets, to speak Yahweh's word, we need to know God face to face. Let this Moses be an invitation to us to know Yahweh, to speak to Him, to hear Him, and to speak His message.